I've got to move very quickly this morning. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we're going to be 18 through 21. We're going to get there here in a minute. And just as a quick update for you, over the last few weeks as a church as a whole, what we've done is we've gone through a series. We're in the middle of a series called Friends and Family. And basically what we've been doing is just looking at just different relationships that every one of us have on an everyday kind of regular basis, where you have relationships with family members, relationship with friends, maybe some coworkers, and just looking at the different type of situations that occur in those relationships and how do we deal with those things just kind of in life in general. We talked about marriage. A bunch of y'all, you want to get married one day. What does it look like to have a healthy marriage? Talked about parenting. You know, do you just constantly yell at your kid, or do you not do anything? Like, where's the balance? How do you parent properly? So we looked at a whole bunch of these different things. Well, this morning in particular, we're gonna look at a particular subject, and that subject is this: it's dealing with difficult people. Dealing with difficult people. Now, and specifically with dealing with difficult people, I want us to look at conflict, because we all have conflict in our lives, and all of that conflict comes with dealing with difficult people. And so if any of y'all are like me, maybe you grew up like me, you have older siblings. Anybody in the room have older siblings? Okay, so a lot of us have older siblings. Well, when I grew up, I had an older brother and older sister. My older sister, she's cool. We have a good relationship. My older brother, though, man, we were butting heads like rams all the time, right? So he'd always come running in trying to pick a fight. And as a younger brother, I have one of two options, right? I either punk out, please don't hit me, you tyrant, right? If I could do that, or let's rumble like it's on. And so I constantly chose to rumble with my older brother. I was all about, like, I developed at a young age this kind of aggression. So if I get challenged, I don't like it when people challenge me. So I have this aggression. I've tried to temper that over the years, trying to have a little bit more maturity. But I'm sure none of y'all have ever struggled with some of your faults coming out, right? So for me, about 3 weeks ago, my LBS, and I refer to that as little brother syndrome, right? My LBS came out a little bit, and I had a confrontation with an 80-year-old man on a golf course. Yeah, so about 3 weeks ago, y'all know it's been raining like crazy, right? You haven't been able to go outside. So a few weeks ago, we had about 2 or 3 days where it was really nice weather. So I thought, naturally, I got to go. I got to go play golf. I got to get out while I can. And so when you play golf, you drive up to the first tee box, and if it's been raining a lot, what ends up happening is they put out this sign at the first tee box, and this sign says cart path only. And that means you just can't drive on the grass. You have to ride around in your cart. And so I drive up to the first tee box, and I'm looking for this sign, cart path only, and it's not there. And I thought, well, that's a little weird. You know, that's kind of strange, but maybe the course is dried out, so I'm good. So I hit my drive, and it goes in the middle of the fairway, and I drive up on the cart path, and I turn onto the grass, and I drive up to my ball. And out of the corner of my eye, I see this guy walking towards me, and he looks like he's yelling at me. Now, I usually have my headphones in, and I like listening to chill music, and so I can't hear what this dude's saying, but what I noticed a little funny, I'm like, this dude is like 80 yards away from his cart, and he's still coming at me. So naturally, I'm going, what is this dude doing? So I pull up my headphones, and this is what I say to him. You ready? I say, hey, man, what's up? And here's how this man responds to me. No joke. You ready? It's cart path only. Like, he had the 80-year-old anger, senile kind of look to his face, and I'm like, whoa, easy, killer. Like, what's the problem here? And so he responds, it's cart path only. And so I respond like this. This is my response. Ready? I say this. I say, well, thank you for telling me, man. I appreciate that. It was weird. I looked for the cart path sign. I didn't see it up there. I thought that was a little strange, but man, thanks for letting me know. I appreciate it. Here's how he responds. Oh, it's up there. I'm like, whoa, right? And so naturally, you respond to me in an attitude kind of way. And so, you know, I just, as a pastor, a loving pastor, in a very mature way, respond. He goes, oh, it's up there. And I respond with, oh, it's definitely not. And so I yell at this 80-year-old man, and he trudges back to his cart, and I'm like, yeah, that's right. 80-year-old man, what? And so I step up to hit my ball, and at that moment, God kind of, you know, he whispers in my ear a little bit. He does that sometimes. So I step back from my ball. I'm like, seriously? I look back at this dude, and he's still walking. He's old. And I'm like, dude, Ryan, you're an idiot. You just yelled at an 80-year-old dude about whether or not there's a sign at the front tee box and whether or not it has a cart path only sign up there. And of course, my mind starts going even further, and I'm like, dude, you see that dude? He's struggling. I mean, that dude might pass out tomorrow, and the last thing this man ever hears on this earth is some pastor yelling at him about whether or not there's a sign at the first tee box. And so I get to heaven, and God's like, really, Ryan? Really? You know? And so I wonder a little bit. Obviously, I didn't handle that situation appropriately. But how many of us, like seriously, on a daily basis, do we just completely handle conflict in the wrong way? I wonder how many of us completely handle conflict in the wrong way. And that's what this morning is about. I want to teach you very quickly about what does it look like to handle conflict in an extremely healthy and positive way. We'll look at what does the Bible say about handling conflict. Right before I do that, I'm gonna pray, and then we're going to dig in, and we're going to move quick. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the fact that the Bible is full of moments in which we see conflicts occur. We see conflicts handled in a horrible way. We see conflicts handled in a phenomenal way. And ultimately, God, what we'll see is Jesus handles conflict in the ultimate way. And so, Father, I pray that just this morning, that it's just through just very practical means, that you will help resolve and restore relationships in this room that desperately need resolution because we handled it in a healthy and a godly way. It's your holy and precious name I pray, amen. So most of us, I think, we deal with difficult conflicts on a regular, everyday basis. Just to prove that point, here's what I want you to do. If this applies to you in this room, if at some point in the last 7 days, right, in the last 7 days, you have had a conflict with somebody in your life, could be a friend, family member, coworker, whatever. If you have some point in the last 7 days had a conflict with somebody in your life, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at the person next to you and say this phrase. You ready? Oh, you have no idea. Right? So, I mean, like, if you're at my perspective, everybody's like, oh, my God. Right? And then it's like bobbleheads, and the noise of the crowd goes up. And so I think we all deal with conflict on a regular, everyday basis. And I'm wondering if any of y'all are like me, where are there just moments in your life where you just kind of say this prayer, you're like, God, man, why? Why do we always have to deal with difficult people? Lord, can there not just be peace? Right? And I mean, they have Nobel Peace Prizes because all of us around the world, we deal with incredibly difficult people and we deal with conflict. And I think the answer to why is there conflict in this world is really simple. I think conflict happens because conflict involves people. At the end of the day, people are imperfect. I think that's why we have conflict. I really do. I think it's because conflict involves people and people are imperfect. And here's what I know about imperfections. Each one of us, in every relationship that we have in life, we bring our imperfections into every relationship that we have. Whether you want to or not, that's just what ends up happening. And here's what imperfections do. When two imperfections meet together, they start to rub against each other and they start to cause friction. And if you know anything about science, friction causes heat, and heat has the tendency to destroy things. And so I just think that why do we have conflict? We have conflict in life because we're just people and people are imperfect. And we bring our imperfections into our conflicts. Here's some examples of if this fits your list at all, some of the conflicts that we maybe have on a regular basis, maybe with your family. Any of y'all have fights with your siblings? Yeah, amen, all right. Moms, dads, these next two students and moms and dads, you'll really appreciate these. You ready? Chores. Right? Chores. Just do the laundry. No! Right? It's just conflict. How about this one? Schoolwork. Yeah. All the students are like, do your homework, do your homework, do your homework. Here's what's funny. Mom's, dad in the room, if you're a parent in the room, here's what you know. In 20 years, they're going to be you. You're laughing, too, because you're like, it's true, man. In 20 years, this is what you're going to be like. Do your homework. And then all of a sudden, you're going to be like, oh, my gosh, I'm turning into my mother. Like, it's going to be terrible. Right, so friends, I think some of the friends that we deal with, we have jealousy. Maybe somebody has really good dating relationships and you're just, you know, stuck and forever and you're miserable for the rest of your life. That's your mentality. And you have conflict because you're constantly struggling with friends. Differing opinions among people that you're friends with. I mean, you saw that in the last week and a half. Social media has exploded over this guy, Bruce Jenner. Right? No, he's wrong. No, you're wrong. No, I'm right. No, you're wrong. And it's just differing opinions. And you see conflict. Just, it's a bomb that's ready to explode. Here's some, if you have a job, right? I think some of you, if you're in the workplace, man, conflicts with deadlines. If you're on a team and there's always that guy or that lady on the team is just not following through with what they need to do, and it creates deadline conflicts, and you want to blow up in the workplace. Or maybe you have a micromanager who's just always watching over your shoulder and just like, are you doing it this way? Are you doing it this way? Do you get out of my face? I'm going to punch you. Like, that's how you feel, and it's just this constant conflict. And I think just kind of more than anything else in our life, I think we have conflict because of us. Right, it's easy to really go, yeah, they're the micromanager. Yeah, they're the ones who do this. Yeah, they're the ones who do this. But what we don't realize all the time is, man, what about us? What about your pride? What about my selfishness? What about all those little things that we bring into the conversation when it comes to dealing with difficult people that create conflict? Conflict so often is because we're just too prideful. Like he just doesn't do it the way he should. Yeah, anybody like that? How about this one? This one drives me bananas, okay? My brother, he does this to me all the time. Still, to this day, still does. I think my parents are in the room. You can attest to that. I don't know if they're in the room. Maybe they are. They're supposed to be. All right, so here's what my brother says all the time. Calm down. Come on! Like, I hate that, you know? Calm down. Just calm down. I'm like, I am calm! I'm the only one, maybe, all right? So I can't stand it. We're like, I'm totally chill, and people are like, calm down. Like, grr. So we know why we have conflict, man. We know what kind of conflicts that we all share in common. But really why we're here this morning is this. How do you handle it? Right? I mean, that's I think, what we all want to know. I think we all want to know, how do you handle conflict? I think you handle conflict in really one of three ways. And the third is the healthy way. And the first two, definitely not how you want to handle conflict. But I think there's three basic ways in which we deal with conflict. And here's the first. I think a lot of people in this room, this may be you ignore it, right? You just ignore it. Like, it's just like magically, if I ignore this conflict, it's not going to be here. It's going to magically go away and I won't have to deal with any of it. Well, that may work for you for like a 30-second conflict. You're at a stoplight, it goes green, the dude behind you honks at you, he speeds by you, gives you the ugly face, and that 30 seconds is gone, and you can avoid that. Right? You can ignore that conflict, and that's okay, that works. But what about the conflicts that you're dealing with for the next 30 years? You can't ignore those conflicts. You just can't. And here's the deal. It's not that you're a bad person. You tend to be like the peacekeepers of the world. Like you're not totally cool with the confrontation. You don't like the fighting. You're just like, man, can't we all just get along? Yeah, we can. But just ignoring the conflict that's there is going to absolutely destroy you, because here's what ends up happening. You internalize everything. You internalize everything. You're like, it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. But deep down in your soul, you know it does. And it just sits there and it gains pressure and it becomes this bomb ready to explode. And I wonder how many of relationships have you been in the room where all of a sudden just boom, that bomb goes off and your reaction is like, I didn't even know there was a problem. It's because we ignore our conflicts, and that is incredibly unhealthy. Now, the polar opposite of that is the guys who attack, or the ladies who attack. Like, you're aggressive, you're an attacker of conflict. If the conflict's up, you're like, oh yeah, it's on, baby, let's go. And unfortunately, what ends up happening is a lot of times that mentality, you think you won, right? Oh, I won that conflict. I know I did, but in reality, you really didn't. Either you completely destroyed the relationship that you have with the people that you attack, right? You completely destroyed that relationship. Or what ends up happening is that person they leave broken, bruised, and battered. And if you continue to break people, they will continue to internalize, and eventually there goes that powder keg again. And eventually, boom. So if you didn't destroy him at the first attack, you will eventually, with subsequent attacks afterwards, you will destroy that person. And in turn, you will destroy that relationship. Attacking conflicts is not a healthy way to deal with it. So what is the healthy way? Resolve it. You need to learn how to resolve conflicts. You do. You need to learn how to resolve them. The peacekeepers are going to be like, oh, but that means they're going to have to like engage. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. The attackers are going to be like, yes. And I would say to you, easy killer, right? Chill out. You got to be able to engage people. So what does the Bible show a healthy resolution of conflict? Look at Romans chapter 12, right? 18 through 21. Romans 12, 18 through 21. And here's what it reads. It says this, if possible, we understand sometimes it's just not possible, but if possible, so far as it depends on who? So far as it depends on who? Right? You, me, right? Live peaceably with all, which means try and go through life living at peace without conflict. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Now, this is hard for a lot of people. Like, yeah, but that, I mean, you should see how they treat me. You see how they treat me? They should be taken care of. They're the ones attacking me. And God is just like, no, listen, that's my job. It ain't your job. That's my job, right? So leave vengeance to God. And then here's what it says. To the contrary, this is where it really just kind of kicks you in the face a little bit. It says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Really? How many of y'all have issue with that? Let's just be real, be honest, right? Like, how hard is it if a dude is in your face or a girl is in your face or a mom or a dad is in your face and you have to just be like, I love you. Would you like something to drink? Are you okay? Are you hungry? Are you hungry? I want to kill you. Right? Now, that's difficult. But it's biblical. Here's what I know about God. He never said it'd be easy. I think a lot of us think that once we have Jesus, we're going to skirt through life on an easy ride. It ain't like that. Right? God is always trying to make you into the image of him. And here's what I know about change. Change is painful. But it's right. And that's hard, right? Now here's the good part. You ready for the good part? Here's the really good part. Especially for those that like revenge, right? Here you go. Give him something to drink, for by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Amen! Praise God. It's going to give him more torture than you could possibly imagine, which feels good, let's be honest, right? Heap burning coals on his head. Do not become overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So here's what God says about resolving conflicts. You do two things. Ready? You love people and you pray for them. You serve them. You love people and you serve them. How do I resolve conflict? How do I get the conflicts in my life to become healthy? Love people. Serve people. Now, why is that difficult? Again, imperfections. God's very clear. You want to resolve conflict, love people, and serve people. Now, for me, that makes a lot of sense, but for some of us, we need even more practical tips. And I'm a practical guy as well. I like to know, all right, God, or Ryan, I see the God side of it, right? Now, how do I take Jesus and put that into my life now? Okay? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you seven steps to resolve conflict. If you have the piece of paper in your seat, this is where you're going to write this down, all right? Seven steps to resolve conflict, and then I'm going to close up after this. Ready? Seven steps to resolve conflict. Step number one, here you go. Practical step number one, choose your battles wisely. Choose your battle wisely. Not every conflict is worth fighting. It's not. Right? I can tell you this right now. If there's somebody that says the inappropriate thing to my wife, we're going to have a conflict. That's worth a fight. I will go conflict all day long on that. That's worth the battle, right? But not every hill is worth dying on. If Brooklyn comes in and points at Ashley, he's like, yeah! I'm like, sure, all right, whatever. That ain't worth fighting over, Okay? Choose your battles wisely. A lot of us are getting into conflict constantly because you're trying to fight every battle. You can't do it, so choose your battles wisely. You will have, if you want to see your conflict ratio drop dramatically in your life, stop fighting every single battle. It's really simple, right? Some of you just, in order to resolve conflict, don't fight. Choose your battles wisely. Second one, engage them, do not ignore or attack them. We talked about this already. Here's how you engage somebody. If Cami and I have a disagreement in our marriage, and guess what? It happens. I hate to tell you this, happily ever after is more like happily very difficult and then it's after, right? I mean, that's just marriage and life. Can I get an amen from my adults, right? Hey, right? So here's how Cami and I have learned how to deal with our marriage, which is this. It's not me attacking you. You do this all the time. And she doesn't go, you know, you always do this. Here's what we do. Babe, I think we should talk. That's an engagement of a conversation that needs to happen. Now, we're both chill on both sides. Yeah, but if they're yelling at me, go back to love them, serve them. Are you hungry? Right? Engage. Don't ignore or attack. Number three, here you go. And this is a big one. Limit the people involved to the people involved. How many of us do this, right? I got a problem with you, right? He's your best friend. Yo, best friend, what's up, dude? Do you see what he did? I mean, he just like, and then all of a sudden, it's like, oh my gosh, he does do that all the time. And they're like, I don't know. And they're like 50 people. And it's like, rumble, rumble. And that's how you get that school fight going. It's crazy. She pulled my hair. That is a great fight, by the way. Cat fights, phenomenal. That's a complete side note. But limit the people involved to the people involved, right? Stop telling your problems to everybody who doesn't need to know about it. Stop telling your problems to every person who doesn't need to know about it, because here's what happens. He said, then she said, then she said. You ever played the game of telephone? Yes. Soon we don't even know what we're fighting about, right? You ever been there? Like, I don't even know where we started fighting about. It's because we're involving more people than what we should. Limit the people involved to the people involved. Here's number four. Attempt to discover the real problem. Here's what I know about conflict. Sometimes it's blatantly obvious. But tell me how many times, think about you. You are having a bad day. You woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Life isn't going right. Mom and dad yelled at you on the way out the door. You know you have a quiz you haven't studied for. You're never going to fail that quiz you haven't studied for. Here comes the guy that always gets on your nerves, and eventually, boom, one wrong word said, blow up. Now, is it necessarily because it's that particular person, or is it all the other things that have happened in your life up until that moment, and that just happened to be the straw that broke the camel's what? Back, right? How many times has that happened to you? Right? So many times conflict has nothing to do with what's on the surface. It's like an iceberg, right? This little bitty part didn't sink the ship. All the stuff that's underneath it sunk it. Try to discover the real problem, and I think what you'll end up finding is you'll maybe see a lot of empathy. Those kids at school that are just constantly angry, how about you find out what their home life is like? Maybe you'd be angry. Attempt to discover the real problem. Number five, stop trying to change them. This is a hard one, isn't it? Stop trying to change who they are. God made them who they are. What? That's just not right. Really? God's wrong? Stop trying to change people. You will spend the rest of your life trying to change the other person. As a pastor I know, he said, listen, the best leadership lesson I've ever learned from a marriage is the day I realized I should stop trying to change my wife. His our marriage flourished after that day. Because I stopped trying to make her who I thought she should be, and I said, God, I appreciate who you made her to be. Now, does that mean difficulties aren't there? No. Again, imperfections, right? Friction. But stop trying to change people. You're never going to change people, right? If somebody walked up to you, Nash, I'm going to change you. How do you feel about it? Like, no, I don't want to. You ain't going to change me. What? Right? Conflict. Stop trying to change people. Here's the deal. Practice forgiveness. And here's number six. Practice forgiveness. And this is the hard part. Let it go. Now, for me, that's easy. I do not hold grudges, never have. It's just is what it is. I don't know why. It's just naturally I don't hold grudges, right? I ain't got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that, right? But some of us, like that festers. Let it go. If you want your conflicts to be resolved and you want to restore your relationships, you have to let it go. And there's a difference between, oh, I forgive you, right? And I forgive you. Let it go. Practice forgiveness and let it go. And here's the last thing, number 7. Love them. Pray for them. It is very, 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 very difficult. You should try it out. If you've never done this, you should really try this out. Pray for the person, especially when you see them in person, that you're having a conflict with. It is incredibly difficult to look at them with anger and frustration and bitterness as you are saying out loud in your head, God, will you please help this person's life change? God, will you please teach me how to have a restored relationship with this person? God, I don't know what that's going on in that person's life, but for some reason we have conflict. Can you help me see them the way you see them, which is as a loving son and daughter? Now, some of us are like, yeah, but you just don't, that's fine, Ryan, but you just don't know that person. We just took communion, representing a man named Jesus who died on a cross. And get this, as his hands are being nailed into a cross, you know what he said? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. That person he was talking about wasn't the guy nailing him in the end of the cross. He meant everybody. Everybody. You don't know who they are. God knows who you are, and you're worth dying for. And if you're worth dying for, like it or not, they're worth dying for because Jesus did it. Love people and pray for them. Follow those 7 steps and allow God to revolutionize your life through the word. And I promise you your conflicts will begin to be resolved. Now, finally, sometimes there's just some conflicts that they just don't want to resolve. Maybe the other person has so much pride they will not let it go, right? At that point, you have done everything you can. You've prayed for them. You've loved them. You served them. Sometimes it's just going to be there. And you, for you and you alone, just have to say, God, it is in your hands. And maybe you have to practice these 7 steps for the next 30 years with the same person until they get it. But Lord willing, they will. Because you can't change them, but you can do you. Now that last step is really important. Number 7, love people and pray for them. I told you that Jesus hung on a cross and forgave you. Here's what that means. Some of you are listening through this talk and you're going, man, that makes a lot of sense to me, but I just don't understand necessarily that kind of love. I can't fathom the kind of love it would take to forgive somebody, especially when they're nailing me to a cross. That kind of love and that kind of understanding is found only through a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. You can search everywhere in this world for something that's going to fulfill a void that you feel in your heart if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus. And the only thing that will fill that void is Jesus himself. That's why he hung on a cross and died for you. So this morning, go ahead and bow your heads. If any of you are in this room and you're like, I've heard, I watched communion happen. I heard about this man, Jesus, who gave his life on a cross so that I may live. If you do not have a personal relationship with that man, I want to invite you right now to have that relationship. It's nice and simple. I'm not going to ask you to sprinkle fairy dust on your face or do anything weird, right? It's just simply a confession to God. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and you confess with your mouth, that you will be saved. And so here's what that looks like. It's the gospel in a nutshell, which is you are a sinner, which means your sin goes against an almighty God. And because of that sin, you are eternally separated from him. Now, God wanted everything that he could do to get back into a right relationship, to restore the conflict between you and God. And so what he did is he sent his son Jesus to die on an earth. Jesus lived a perfect life, dies on a cross, but 3 days later he lived again, which means Jesus is alive. He is a risen Savior, and he can speak to God on your behalf. And what Jesus did by dying on a cross means that your relationship can be restored with God. And the Bible is very clear. It just says all you have to do is believe that Jesus is Lord. He lived a perfect life, died on a cross, rose again. And if I believe that Jesus is Lord, I can ask him to be my Savior. And if I believe that in my heart and I confess it with my mouth, you will be saved. And here's what we like to be able to just kind of walk through a prayer with you, nice and simple. And it's not a prayer to me, it's a prayer to God. And it's just you telling God in your heart, I believe that you are God. I desire a personal relationship with Jesus, and I am confessing that he is Lord. I'm asking him to be my Savior. If that is you this morning in the room, here's what I want you to do. You can say it silently in your mind. Follow these words after me. God, I know that I am a sinner. I know my sin separates me from you. I know you sent your perfect son, Jesus, to this earth to die on a cross for me, to rise again 3 days later in order to restore my relationship with you. I believe that Jesus is my Savior, and I would like to ask him to be that. So Jesus, will you be my Savior? Thank you for your sacrifice. Amen.